we so appreciate your support. Come join us.
Right. And thank you to Carol for helping me get this done. And you can still get under the wire, 256-2001 extension 1, as we go out with Walton's Crown Imperial March. This is WRTFM 89.9 Madison.
You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison.
Hello, this is Julie Candler with the BBC News. The head of the European Commission has said a new maritime corridor for delivering humanitarian aid from Cyprus to Gaza will begin operating very soon. On a visit to Cyprus, Ursula von der Leyen said she hoped the initiative would start by Sunday. Here's Danny Eberhard.
Ursula von der Leyen called the humanitarian crisis in Gaza dire. The UN has warned that a growing number of children are dying of starvation and dehydration. This plan aims to complement other aid deliveries by land from Egypt and airdrops. It's backed by other non-EU partners, including the US, Britain and the United Arab Emirates. They'd like a ship to depart by Sunday, just before Ramadan starts. Many details of how the plan would work still aren't clear. Israel has welcomed the initiative. A foreign ministry spokesman said security checks would be carried out, as he put it, in accordance with Israeli standards, without elaborating.
The UN's human rights chief says expanding Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank risks eliminating any possibility of a viable Palestinian state. Volker Turk said there'd been a drastic acceleration in the construction of illegal settlements. The head of the UN Human Rights Office in the occupied Palestinian territory, Ajit Sange, said the expansion was a breach of international law.
Once more, we remind Israel that the transfer of population of an occupying power into occupied territory, or the forcible transfer of the population within or from occupied territory, or the annexation of territory by use of force are all strictly prohibited. Officials and others involved in such conduct risk individual criminal liability.
A United Nations fact-finding mission has concluded that Iran was responsible for the violence that led to the death of Mahsa Amini, a Kurdish woman accused of breaching Islamic dress rules. A report submitted to the UN's Human Rights Council said the government also used unnecessary lethal force to suppress demonstrations that followed. The security forces in northwest Nigeria are desperately searching for more than 280 pupils kidnapped from a school in Kaduna State on Thursday. A teacher who managed to escape said gunmen who had arrived on motorbikes went on to attack local people who tried to rescue the children. More from Myeni Jones.
The school children, aged between 8 and 15, and some teachers were taken away by the gunmen into a nearby forest. A 14-year-old child who was shot during the attack has since died in hospital. The authorities say they'll ensure every missing child is brought back home, and armed forces have been deployed to the area. Meanwhile, in Borno State in the northeast, dozens of internally displaced women and children abducted while searching firewood are still missing. Both abductions are believed to have been carried out by fighters affiliated with the Islamist militant group Boko Haram, although it hasn't yet admitted any involvement.
World News from the BBC.
You wake up to the 8 o'clock buzz to get the week started.
Now, we need the help of a good volunteer to run our on-air operations each Monday.
Sure, that means waking up a little earlier.
To get to the station around 7:30...
But that's why WRT has coffee.
So that you can start your week off right.
WORT is recruiting a volunteer to run the soundboard each week on Monday mornings from 7:30 to 9 a.m.
You'd run all on-air operations for our morning program, The 8 O'Clock Buzz with Brian Standing.
No experience is necessary, but a familiarity with computers and a strong sense of punctuality and reliability are preferred.
For details, call 608-256-2001 and ask to speak with Shali Pittman.
Or head online to wortfm.org/volunteer to fill out our volunteer application.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Arts and Literature Laboratory, Madison's community-based contemporary arts center located at 111 South Livingston Street. Arts and Literature Laboratory houses an art gallery and performance space, a writing center and library, artist studios, and a dedicated education studio, which features classes for all ages. Information about current exhibits, performances, and classes, and how to get involved as a member or volunteer is available at artlitlab.org or on social media at artlitlab.
It's the Friday 8 o'clock buzz. It's March 8. I'm Andy Moore. Hey, I want to thank all the folks who called last week, or if you hit the pledge button online during the hour last week. We exceeded our goal, which, of course, raises the bar for us this week. But if you didn't call in with your support last week, that's okay. Your ears are always welcome here, but so is your cash. I like to think we lead by example here at Ye Olde WRT. I'm a volunteer here, just like Engineer Without Peer Jim Wilson and Ankur Malhotra, our Friday Buzz music producer, who, by the way, has created an all-vinyl show for us this morning. We don't make a penny putting this show together. But in addition to the time that it takes to produce and prepare for this show each week, I also donate money to the station. I'm not boasting about that. I am boasting about that, because it feels good to boast, to support our community by supporting WRT. And I'm proud to support the station through my time and my money. It's a community treasure. But you already know that, or you wouldn't be here right now. But during these weird times and whacked out media channels, WRT is an invaluable service. And we have a great hour ahead lined up for this morning. But first, we ask you to rally, roll up your sleeves, reach for the phone, call 608-256-2001 and help us out with a financial gift of any size you can afford. And here to help me hammer money out of you during this morning's show is a person of many talents. She's the director of education and community engagement at the Madison Children's Museum. Among many other things, she's a working musician and one of our very favorite guest hosts here on the Friday Buzz whenever I take on dangerous international assignments. And she's a money hammerer, too. It's Kia Carlin!
Woo! Good morning, Andy. Let's bring in some money to support this great station. I've got my money hammer ready to go.
It's in the shape of a cast.
It is. It's solid and it's ready.
Poor Kia is recovering from a broken wrist, and that's an understatement when I say broken wrist. But it's just another example of the devotion of a community member coming in here. She's on a gurney with her arm raised
IV,
over her head.
Getting some intravenous caffeine to keep me going this morning.
We have a really special way to get started with some money raising, don't we?
We do. You know, we've got another volunteer to thank, and this volunteer gets at the bell. Our friend Gail is volunteering right now, answering phones to take calls for donations to the station. She loves the local news programming, 8 o'clock buzz, and Packet or Parade. And she's got a special challenge for you listeners this morning. Gail not only is answering phones, she has pledged to make a gift of $10 for each individual gift that comes in during the hour.
How about that?
Yeah.
When she walked in and announced that, that was her intention. She said, I would not like nothing more than to throw $100 at WRT this morning. But we want to drain her account. We want to call up Heartland and warn them.
What have I done?
Yes. And Gail, if we know you're listening out there, it's all in good fun. But we would really like everyone to meet Gail and chip in along with her.
And if you've already given during this fundraising drive, this is a great way to top it off. You know, it doesn't take much from you to top it off and get an extra $10 from Gail.
You can call Gail right now, 608-256-2001, and thank her yourself. This goes back to what we were saying a moment ago. This place is run by volunteers. We happen to have a volunteer here this morning who is really walking the walk too, and donating money, even as she donates her time.
Yes, I know. It's a double, you know, a double gift to WORT. Yes. And many of our volunteers, like you said, you give, I give money. Many of our volunteers do, but we need a bigger pool. So we reach out to you, all of our listeners out there in Radioland and online, and hope that you will help support this great programming.
If you've been a listener, and I hope you have been to the Friday Buzz, but you've never donated, and you like or can live with what we try to do every Friday morning, but now's a great time to ring the bell, as it were, and call 608-256-2001. We want to give equal attention, because online gets an inferiority complex. We want to give equal attention to WRTFM.org, right?
Exactly. And, you know, another way, once you give financially, you can acquire some WORT attire to help spread the word about the station and raise awareness. So we have a lot of thank you gifts. You don't need to choose a thank you gift, but if you do, there are many ways that will let you keep, you know, showing your love for the station.
You know, and when you wear it with pride. I have a tote bag that has the WRT logo on it. It's that sort of retro vintage one that was on premium last spring, I think. And by God, I was in the LA airport last month, and you would expect a Madisonian to see WRT,
sure,
and reach out and say hi. But guess what? Someone's never even been here.
And they're
a community radio fan, and they found WRTFM.org, and they listen. And they, I think they were from Texas, but there they were in the
That's
Los Angeles
great.
Airport. And so, if we can hold the attention of people in Texas, nothing personal Texas, but we know that we can maybe solicit a little bit of support from you this morning. 608-256-2001 is the call, and Gail will take your call, and she will throw in $10 of her own hard-earned money every time you call and say hello and make a donation yourself.
Yes, and right now she's sitting on that money. She's just sitting there waiting for you to spend it.
So now's the time. And while you're getting out your debit card, let me tell you what's ahead on today's show. One freaked out political week on the old presidential politics front. All the Super Tuesday news and midweek visit to Madison by Vice President Harris, last night's State of the Union address, and as you well know, things are only going to get nuttier. Just ask political commentator and founding editor of The Bulwark and semi-regular Friday Buzz guest Charlie Sykes. Charlie had a killer op-ed piece in the Washington Post this week that puts a few scary things in perspective. He'll join us later in the hour. Believing in Madison one day getting Amtrak service is a little like believing in the Easter Bunny. Or is it? In fact, we may actually live to see the day when we can ride the rails from Madison to Milwaukee for a Brewers game or a show at Shank Hall. We'll get the latest on the Amtrak progress by the city's lead person on the effort, and that's coming up in just a minute. Kia and I are surrounded by geniuses, per usual this morning. Engineer without peer, Jim Wilson. Music producer, Ankur Malhotra. Post-production producer and front office hero, Elliot LeBrun. Gail is one of a couple people taking your calls of support right now at 608-256-2001. It's the Friday 8 o'clock Buzz Train Edition. The train is pulling out of the station. Let's get buzzed.
Thank you.
All vinyl show, as I mentioned, that Ankur has in store for us. Only Ankur Malhotra would show up at the station with a vintage LP that is nothing but steam locomotive sound effects that was recorded in Baraboo. That's how that sequence started. And then straight into that luscious version of Jimi Hendrix's Train a-comin'. We got more train music ahead, but first we got some train talk. It's 8 o'clock. Buzz, I'm Andy Moore, and this is segment one. So could Madison have a working Amtrak station in place within the next decade? Imagine it. Someone who's imagining it full-time is City of Madison Transportation Planner Liz Callen. Liz joins us now by phone. Good morning, Liz, and welcome to the Friday Buzz.
Good morning.
Talk about Amtrak coming through Madison has been ongoing for so long that it's hard for many among us to actually believe it's going to happen. But now it's not really an if discussion so much as a where discussion. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the discussion we're having right now is where in Madison would a station be located?
I want to talk about that, the answers or potential answers to that question in a moment, but sort of a more general question first. We've all come to know Amtrak through stations in large cities like Milwaukee and Portland, Chicago, and teeny weeny little stations like the cute one in Columbus, Wisconsin. But what city similar to Madison in size can you name that would be an example of the kind of service Amtrak is looking to or could provide here?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of small to medium-sized cities who have Amtrak service. You could compare it to Ann Arbor, Michigan, for example. They have service of a few times a day between Chicago and Ann Arbor. But yeah, there's a lot of locations with stations that aren't major cities.
Do you know off the top of your head what a ticket costs a person to ride from Chicago to Ann Arbor?
I believe around $40 right now, give or take.
So $40, and then is it cheaper round trip, or are you paying? We'll get into some more pricing in a moment, but so $40 each way.
I believe so. Yes, I believe about $40 each way.
As we drive around town, my wife and I, it's kind of almost like a game. We say, what if the station was there? What if it were there? Of course, there are engineering feats and logistics and mechanics and all of this design. But if you would please, what are the potential Madison sites officially being considered for a new Amtrak station?
Sure, we are looking at 8 different sites. So we're looking at 4 sites on the Isthmus. So we're looking at Monona Terrace as an option, a site near Monona Terrace, a site at Blair Street, which is the current Gateway Mall location, a site at Livingston Street, and a site at Baldwin Street. The Baldwin Street site would be an extension of McPike Park. And then we're looking at 2 station options near the First Street in the East Wash area, which would be right at the future Madison Public Market location, right on that site. And then we're also looking at a site kind of kitty corner across the street, which is at Johnson Street, which is kind of currently just an industrial site that has some warehouses and things like that on it. And then we're also looking at 2 sites up in the former Oscar Mayer area, one at Commercial Avenue, which is currently vacant, and then one at Aberg, which is the former site of the North Transfer Point that Metro Transit no longer needs.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with City of Madison Transportation Planner Liz Callen. She heads up the effort to establish an Amtrak station here in town. Thank you for clicking through all of those possible locations. And I'm sure it's almost like personalities. Each one brings its own desirable to the table. But on the other side of the table, what is a factor that all of these possible sites would have to meet? What is a baseline need for a location to be established?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the basic things that we need are access to a railroad track. So all of these sites have that. We are looking at having the service on an existing track. We would have to have space for a relatively long platform. So the goal is up to 700 feet, but it can be ranging anywhere from about 400 to 700 feet long. And then we do need some space for some kind of station building or space within a larger building where we could have information about the service, bathrooms, some seating, things like that. So that's sort of the bare minimum. Mm-hmm.
700 feet seems like a pretty big piece of real estate for the platform. But then again, we're talking about a train, which leads me to want to be curious about there's a myth, I believe, about train length and Amtrak blocking traffic and so forth going through the isthmus. That's somewhat of a myth because of the difference between a passenger train and a freight train. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. We've been hearing a lot of questions about how much more traffic congestion the service might bring to the isthmus if the station is on the isthmus. And I think you're right. It is a little bit of a misnomer that there's going to be all of these trains blocking streets. The trains relative to freight trains are much, much shorter. We're talking about comparing it more to the length of how long you have to wait at a traffic light. If there's a red light,
right,
then you have to stop.
Yeah.
That. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a lengthy wait.
Now, that's not a stoplight you'd want to run, but you have a hard job, but you also have what I want to believe would be a pretty cool job too, because everyone I talk to in town is very much excited about the prospect. Are you hearing a lot of excitement among your friends and neighbors and people you're encountering on the job?
That's exactly right. Yeah, it is fun because people are very excited about this project, and it's the discussion is more about differing opinions of where
yeah.
the site should go. And, you know, Amtrak has said any site in Madison is going to be a great site. And
well,
so it's kind of a good problem to have.
Speaking of that, I understand that Amtrak believes no matter where the station is located here, that they believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that most of the passengers will be riders coming into Madison. If that's correct, talk about the implications and the impact of that.
Yeah, so I think what they're thinking is that Madison is really going to be a destination stop. It's not so much going to be a pass-through stop. So the idea, and based on the routes that the state is looking at, that there will be a route that comes, it will be an extension from Chicago, Milwaukee to Madison and eventually onto the Twin Cities. But the existing service that runs from Chicago to the Twin Cities will also still be there that bypasses Madison. So if your goal is to go to Chicago to Minneapolis or Milwaukee to Minneapolis, you can still do that without having to go through Madison. But the idea is that for this station, most people using it are either coming to or from Madison. It's really kind of a sweet spot as far as they're concerned, as far as ridership demand and mm-hmm. destinations and things like that.
That's so encouraging. But what kind of fiscal shape overall is Amtrak in?
You know, that's a great question. I don't have a lot of details about their current fiscal situation, but I do know that the Federal Railroad Administration is funding several expansions and improvements to passenger rail through the bipartisan infrastructure law. And that is part of what the Wisconsin DOT has been able to take advantage of to start the process for planning and developing this route that would eventually go through Madison. So there is definitely a federal investment happening for expanding and improving passenger rail across the country.
This is going to sound painfully obvious, but why ride the train?
Why ride the train? That's a great question. Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons. I think what first comes to mind to me is convenience and comfort. I think, you know, being able to go to a station, get on, and then just sit back and relax during your ride, being able to potentially work while you're traveling, if you're traveling for work purposes, if you're traveling for fun, just being able to sit back, read a book. You don't have to worry about parking. You don't have to worry about driving down the interstate, thinking about the extension between Madison and Milwaukee, for example. You know, that trip on 94, it's not terrible, but it's not enjoyable, you know, and being able to really start your experience when you get on the train versus when you find a place to park and then get to your destination.
Liz Callen is the City of Madison transportation planner who leads the work to establish an Amtrak station here. Liz, did you grow up having any Amtrak experience or any recent rides that have helped you come to appreciate the service?
Yeah, I've done a fair amount of travel by train, but more so regional travel. So I did some work with passenger rail in Michigan, and that's kind of part of why I mentioned Ann Arbor. But some of those shorter regional routes between a lot of them coming into Chicago and out to other parts of the Midwest I've used. And I recently moved to the Madison area from Milwaukee, and we used the Hiawatha quite a bit to go between Milwaukee and Chicago for weekend fun. And it's just so convenient and relaxing and safe and all of the above.
There's an undeniable romance that comes with it. When our youngest son graduated from college 10 plus years ago, and he moved to Portland, we drove him to Columbus to the Amtrak station to move to Portland. And the romance, and I'm kind of hopelessly, ridiculously, weirdly, overly romantic anyway, but the image of him standing on the platform with the guitar in one hand and a sewing machine in the other, it was like it was 1947 or something. And watching that train disappear, you know, down the track was just a moment you can tell that I'll certainly never forget.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people have that in common with you. There's a lot of people that just really love the idea and the experience of traveling by train. And I think a lot of people are sort of saying now, you know, now that we've spent, you know, frankly, decades disinvesting in things like passenger rail, you know, people are sort of saying, wait, why did we do that? That was such a great system. Why are we so focused on moving by car and moving on interstate highways? And, you know, not to say that needs to go away, but bringing this back as more of an option that people can consider to use.
We established the price of a Amtrak ride between Chicago and Ann Arbor. What would an Amtrak ride for someone leaving the new Madison station say to Milwaukee? What might that run you?
You know, it's hard for me to say. I don't want to, you know, name a price specifically, but I would say, you know, in that range of probably around $40 or under $40 is reasonable. And the pricing, you know, Amtrak would determine that. And it would also probably depend on where on the route you're going. If you're going all the way to Chicago or to the Twin Cities versus connecting to stations in between, which there will be several options. Other communities within Wisconsin will also have access to this, to some of these new routes that they're looking at.
Of course, I haven't even thought about that. The convenience of people jumping on at smaller stops between these big cities, of course. We just have a minute or so left. Where are we in the process? And what happens next? What's the timeline?
Yeah, so we wrapped up our most recent round of public involvement at the beginning of February, and we have received hundreds of comments. And so we're going through those comments right now, and we are seeing some trends that people really want to see proximity to people, jobs, and destinations for the station location. And they also really want to see it be highly accessible by multiple modes of transportation. So being able to take the bus, walk, bike, and of course have parking at the station. So those are some of the priorities that we're seeing out of those public comments. And then over the next few months, we are going to continue to dive into each of these sites and really refine our evaluations to try to come to a recommended site location. We'll also probably be having a secondary or tertiary recommendation so we can have quote unquote backup options if when the state and Amtrak, when they continue moving forward with their route planning, when they're ready for the station to actually be developed, you know, if for some reason that site doesn't end up working out for various reasons, we have another option. So we're going to dive into a few of those options in more detail and hope to have something later this year. Really, frankly, in the middle of this year, maybe this summer, we'll have some recommendations for people to look at and provide more comments on.
Terrific. And even though a formal public comment is now in the past, where can people read about the sites that you mentioned and maybe do their own scouting trip, having gotten to know it a little bit better? Is that on the City of Madison webpage?
Yep. If you go to the City of Madison webpage, you could just search passenger rail, and we have everything posted on the website. You can see the full draft report. You can see the site plans that we're considering. And you can also email comments to Amtrak at cityofmadison.com. People can, you know, email questions or comments to us, but you're right, the sort of formal public comment period has closed for now, but there will be more opportunities to provide feedback in spring or early summer.
Liz Callen, thanks for joining us on the Friday Buzz. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
Yep. City of Madison Transportation Planner Liz Callen heads up the effort to establish an Amtrak station here in town. Interesting stuff, Kia Carlin.
Yeah, I took the train from Chicago to Detroit this past December because I'm just so done with that drive. So my husband's family lives in the Detroit area, and we were going for a long weekend.
How cool.
And, you know, parked our car at the park and ride here. So it was half bus, half, you know.
Yeah.
Took the bus to Union Station and then hopped on the train.
Right. It's funny. Liz mentioned that drive on, I think, 90, whatever to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It's not anything special at all.
Right.
you might as well be reading a book.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. And,
yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And so speaking of prices.
Yes. Speaking of money, they're
admission price this morning,
yes,
if they're not up
yes.
to the show.
And we have someone to thank from that first segment. We want to thank Patty Summer. Patty was a volunteer back in 1987 here at WORT with Third World View news program.
Patty. Well, see, there's another example of people donating to the station, not only with their money, but also with their time.
Yes, exactly. And she loves all the variety of music, jazz and salsa, and she says she loves music that she can listen to all day, and it's a great variety.
You know, that reminds me of the comments that Gail made about the programs she likes. She likes everything from the children's shows to the news programming, and that sort of says it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
When you fork over your dough to WRT, as we're asking you to do this morning at 608-256-2001, you're getting a big bang for your buck.
Absolutely. You can't curate your own playlist that would match anything that you can get on WORT.
Even during this hour.
Yes.
We are so lucky
right.
to have DJ Spin Cycle.
DJ Spin Cycle.
And I'll plug Anker's show for tomorrow. He'll be Pan Africa tomorrow during that portion of the pledge at the weekend. I believe it goes into this weekend. I shouldn't talk out of that
you
side
know
of
what?
My mouth.
We'll accept your money next week, the week after that. I mean, if we get it in the next, 27 minutes, it's going to get topped off by Gail, of course. $10. We have a $10 challenge pledge, $10 from our volunteer Gail for every individual pledge that we take in during this program.
So Gail will answer your call, and she will top off your donation of any amount with $10 of her own money. Call Gail, call Elliot, call Lori. They're all waiting for you to call 608-256-2001. What are you waiting for?
You can also you can get on our website and donate there. That is easy peasy. It is at wortfm.org. Hit the big donate button. You can peruse all of the thank you gifts that are available. You can, you know.
The biggest thank you is what comes over the airwaves, is what comes over the online services. And these are fun thank you gifts, but Key and I like to say that it's sort of it's not necessarily the thank you gift that is the hat. It's what it does for what's under the hat. It's food for your brain. It's food for your heart. It's food and information for the community. And you know that sounds all kind of peachy, but it costs cold hard money to make a station run in a professional way as WRT does, day in and day out.
And of course, you know, you didn't get here in a limousine. I think you got here on a bicycle.
I did.
So, you know, we're not we're using your money so carefully here at the station. We're
yes.
making sure that the roof doesn't leak. We're making sure our equipment is in good working order, and it's all people powered, largely with volunteers and some very hardworking staff. So
I don't even overinflate my tires on that Schwinn. We are very careful with every dollar that you send our way, and we'd appreciate it if you're a first time or you're a return pledge person. Please call at 608-256-2001, 608-256-2001. WRTFM.org is key. It says it's easy peasy. It really is, because there's a big old button that you just, you know, guide and click.
You could just mash it with your palm if you if you like.
And it feels good, but it also feels good to talk to real people, Lori and Gail and Elliot, namely, and they're taking your calls at 608-256-2001. We had quite a successful day last Friday. We really want to try to keep the momentum going, and then the winter drive is over.
Yes, and then we are ready to spring into spring.
Yes,
and we're ready
yes.
to get our yes. shorts out and yeah.
Yes, and you can put on your new WRT sweatshirt
yep.
With that cool design by P.S. Mueller. Any garment with a P.S. Pete illustration on it is instantly a classic.
Classic, yes. A collectible piece of Madison artistry and lore. And those will go quickly, I think. And this is the time
yes.
to get them. So that is available at the $120 gift level and many colors and sizes to choose from.
Madison's so filled with special people. And Pete Mueller is one of them. If you don't know him, you probably do know his drawings. His fun cartoons have been featured in Isthmus for decades. His cartoons also run in the New Yorker, and it'll be on the WRT sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Weirdos for Wart. If you pledge today,
I loved when I got the email from Susan a while back with the pledge drive fundraising theme this year of this season of another Weirdo for Wart, and I thought, well, this is yes. This
I
is
have a complicated relationship with that.
With
that,
the word weirdo?
With that label.
Yes.
Because I don't think there's anything weird at all about supporting WRT. I tend to be sometimes weird on the air. I prefer to call it strange. There's nothing strange about keeping a service this potent going and alive and breathing.
Yeah. You can take pride in your weirdo-ness, and you're a weirdo who can very easily pass for normal. So, you know, you're in kind of a normal shell.
It's a whole category.
With a weird
it's
filling.
Like Clark Kent.
Yes.
I think the time is right now. It's 8:38. You've been listening to the first half, roughly, of the program. We've got a dynamite political conversation coming up. But before we do that, we you know, we're a full-service microwave around here.
Of course.
And because every Friday about this time, we put down the kickstand completely and fully for your benefit, for your music weekend plan making. There's lots of live music coming up. Lucky for you, Encore Malhotra has made some classic picks for you. Those picks will come right after Jim Wilson with the Encore's Picks disclaimer.
Encore's picks are not influenced by any outside entities. Encore consults with an advisory board of one, Encore Malhotra. The cost of admission to any recommended show is of no concern to Encore, nor the price of beer, nor the cleanliness of the venue restrooms. Encore has one goal and one goal only in the delivery of Encore's picks, for you to have a kick-ass musical experience. Encore's picks is a trademark of the multinational corporation DJ Spin Cycle. All copy and trade therein is solely possessed. Here's Encore Malhotra!
Good morning, Madison. Keeping it weird on the airwaves here, Encore. You could take the A train, perhaps listen to some Coltrane. There's jazz across the tracks at Coda Fest this weekend. You know, it's March 7 to 10. Bunch of fabulous artists coming through town there on Willie Street. And then spinning the steel wheels on Saturday, Jeff Kay at Lola's, March 9th, that is. Another Hendrixes are coming to town. Haley Hendrix, that is, the Westerlies, and Tim Baker at Stoughton Opera House on March 9. And March 12 at the High Noon, Wayne the Train Hancock. That's it, folks.
Thank you, Ankur. Thank you so much. We're going to have some announcements and a little bit of music, and we'll be back with political commentator Charlie Sykes. It's 8:40.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bluestem Jazz, presenting Hanami with opening solo guitarist David Lord on Saturday, March 16th, 8 p.m. at Audio for the Arts. Hanami features Jason Stein, Andrew Trim, Charles Rumbach, and Mai Sugimoto playing electric guitar, alto sax and clarinet, bass clarinet, and drums. Hanami paints dynamic sonic landscapes on a bassless canvas, producing original arrangements of Japanese music. More information and tickets are available at bluestemjazz.org.
Madison Roller Derby's 19th season continues with Game 4 on Saturday, March 16th at 5 p.m. in the arena at Alliant Energy Center in Madison. This month's game is Team Unicorn versus Wisconsin United Roller Derby, who are an all-gender flat-track roller derby league. Doors at 5 p.m., skates hit the track at 6 p.m. Tickets can be purchased online at madisonrollerderby.org/tickets or at the door. Madison Roller Derby's fourth game of the season is Saturday, March 16th at 5 p.m. at the arena at Alliant Energy Center in Madison. Supporting community nonprofits since 1975, this is WORT 89.9 FM Madison, listener-sponsored community radio.
You can catch it if you wanna ride. Don't you worry if it pass you by. You can catch it if you wanna ride. Don't you worry if it pass you by. On this train till I die.
It's the Friday 8 o'clock buzz. I'm Andy Moore. Pretty close to a whopper political week, I think we could say, in the old USA. Last night's State of the Union address, Vice President Harris in Madison midweek, and of course Super Tuesday when important elections took place across the country. These important presidential primary elections were all, they were all legitimate. You might even call them perfect. Not a whisper about rigged elections or broken voting machines or cheating county clerks or dead people voting, none of that, which is notable because, remember, Trump reported that thousands of dead people voted last time. What happened to the dead person turnout this year? I don't know. They just didn't show up the way they usually do. Nope. Everything came off without a hitch in the 16 states that voted Super Tuesday. That's, of course, because former President Donald Trump won. As we all know, Trump's conviction that elections are rigged only kicks in when he loses. Otherwise, his system works beautifully, no questions asked. If this introduction is starting to raise your blood pressure like it is mine, we're only getting started because our next guest raises people's blood pressure for a living. He's MSNBC political commentator, founder of The Bulwark, and all-around conservative troublemaker, Charlie Sykes. Good morning, Charlie, and welcome back to the Friday Buzz, the home of the never-ending intro.
Okay, so apparently my job now is to chill people out, calm everybody down.
No.
This is fine.
Charlie, let's start with last night. Highlight and low light from the State of the Union.
Okay, well, here's my caveat. I mean, I really dislike State of the Unions. I think they're phony. I think it's outdated. I really do not like watching them. My conventional wisdom is usually that they never make a difference. They never move the needle. They're always overhyped. But having said that, that was pretty extraordinary last night. Joe Biden came out, and he was fired up. This was a high-energy, non-senile Joe Biden In fact, he was so high energy that now Republicans are speculating he must have been on drugs. He must have, you know, there must be performance enhancement there somewhere. So they've had to switch their narrative from he's doddering and drooling and senile to why is he shouting so much and why is he so mean to us? I mean, so that I have to say that may be remembered as one of the more effective political speeches. It was more a political speech, but that's what Joe Biden needed. The low light, I am sorry to say, once again, the Republican response for Senator Katie Britt, who was, thrown into the chum machine and gave a widely panned response. The other low lights, of course, just the clownishness of Marjorie Taylor Greene and the inability of Republicans to figure out that. Joe Biden was baiting them, trapping them, and just they kept walking into it.
It was kind of
a surprising night.
It was really, it kind of filled with fireworks in that way. And I want to get to a little more about the Republican response, but just staying with the Biden side of the podium for a minute. I thought it was beautifully written. Whoever is writing now for the president and whoever wrote that, I thought it did a spectacular job. There was that one line, "You can't love your country only when you win." That was kind of a big old punch, wasn't it?
There were a lot of punches in that speech, and he did. You know, if somebody would have asked me beforehand, what does Joe Biden need to do? It would be first of all, come out and be forceful and be energetic and draw sharp contrasts while laying out what the stakes of 2024 are. And I think he did every one of those. And I say this as somebody who. I consider myself kind of a Biden skeptic. I've been very critical of him. But I agree with you, by the way. There were a lot of good lines in that speech. The historical perspective, talking about, not bowing to Vladimir Putin. Even the way he handled his age, I thought, was pretty well done.
Yes. And as you say, drawing sharp contrast, but also, right to people's faces. What about when he drove the lane and dunked on the Supreme Court members on women's rights to abortion care?
Well, that was kind of an easy dunk for him to do because you knew that he was going to be talking about abortion. I think that, I've been reading a lot of the commentary about this, and of course Republicans are criticizing it because it was so politically effective. But this week has really been kind of a reality check. I think going back, connecting all the dots of Super Tuesday, people have been sort of, I think, sleepwalking through the fact that, it is going to be Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. No unicorn is going to come over the hill and save you. There's not a better alternative there. And then Joe Biden gets up there and says, okay, guys, this is for real. This is not a drill. I am not this old man that the Republicans have been drawing as a caricature. And this is what it's all about. And so it was bracing. And clearly, you see him leaning into these fights, including, as you mentioned, going after the Supreme Court. And I think that was one of the big questions, would he continue to run a traditional sort of bland old man campaign, or is he going to throw some punches?
Meanwhile, back to the Republican response, which literally showed the country where the party believes women belong, in the kitchen.
Too easy. I mean, what genius thought that was a good idea? Yeah. I mean, really, I'm asking that as a non-rhetorical question. What genius thought that you should take this young, attractive, rising star in the party and put her in the kitchen? And then give her really bad acting lessons. I want names.
It spoke volumes before she ever uttered a word. The setting was, I was fisting my eyes open when it's at a kitchen. Is that a diamond crucifix? Not white pearl necklace, but it's like there it was.
Well, and then it got worse. I mean, from there, that's the fact that you're about, a minute and a half in there and everyone is thinking this is going to be an SNL skit. this is an SNL skit. They're going to have to be falling all over themselves. Like, who gets to play Katie Britt? And, you know, this morning I had to get up very, very early to do French television, English language French television. And by the time I got up, it was like, you know, 5:30 or 6 o'clock. There were already parodies on social media that were just dead on.
Oh, man.
So that's like the worst thing that you want it to become is to become a hilarious meme after the biggest speech of your life.
God. Charlie, let's switch gears into Super Tuesday. A parallel message has taken root in the Trump campaign, as far as I can see. Alongside the campaign platform that America is a nightmare is clear language now that paves the way to doubt the legitimacy of a Biden win in 2024. I saw 100 freshly minted signs at Mar-a-Lago Tuesday night that read, maybe you saw them too, too big to rig. And this puts fresh reality paint on the idea that rigging is just the way it goes. It's kind of the definition of a win-win campaign in a weird way, isn't it?
Well, this is a very, very, very important point, because I don't think that people have really wrap their heads around the fact that Donald Trump is never going to graciously concede defeat in the 2024 election. That no matter what the margin is, they're going to claim that it's rigged. They are pre-whining about all of this. And there is an escalation going on here. I have a piece that's going to come out in the next couple of days about Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon was at CPAC recently and said, you know, basically to the media and the White House, suck on this. Trump won. Trump actually won in 2020, and he is the legitimate president of the United States right now. Not in 2025, right now. And that Joe Biden is a usurper. So the stakes are on the big line are being raised in real time. So people who think that what happened in 2021 on January 6th was terrible, which it was, but that it was a one-off, I think need to start realizing that that may have simply been a dry run, because we are not going to have a normal transition or a normal election process play out this year either, because Donald Trump will never, ever, ever admit he lost.
Your piece in the Washington Post this week, meanwhile, outlines why, you know, to date, Donald Trump is the luckiest politician to ever live. Walk our listeners through the case you made there.
Well, okay, I hope people understand this is very sort of tongue-in-cheek, because I don't know, it is not all luck. But, you know, you think about all the things that that he has done, from, you know, being found liable to rape, to facing 91 felony charges, to massive judgments for fraud. You would not normally think that this is this describes a fortunate man, but you think of Donald Trump and all the things that he has escaped. He's been so lucky in his opponents who have fallen flat on their face. He's been very, very fortunate in having an evangelical Christian movement that is prepared to shelve its values. He's incredibly fortunate in having a Republican Party that just simply will not stand up to him. I mean, every once in a while, they will, attempt some show of independence. But, you know, I quote the memorable words of H.L. Mencken, who said, you know, they sound like sheep trying to bark. And he's very, very fortunate that he's also, rising to power at a time when we have this national amnesia, where everybody has become so numb that they forget the last abhorrent thing that he said.
Yeah.
So all of these things, all of these things have aligned, because we have to realize, you know, how can someone as thoroughly deplorable as Donald Trump be even remotely close to the presidency unless he is either the luckiest man alive or something is really seriously broken?
You know, right there in line with all of these things aligning, much has been written about the timing of court cases against Trump, about how if cases get underway in the fall, it'll hurt Trump because he'll be taken off the campaign trail in order to sit in a courtroom. But isn't that his dream come true? Isn't he better off playing the martyr in a custom-built setting and being seen in court? Isn't that the best thing that could happen to him, campaign-wise?
Well, he thinks so. I think some skepticism is in order. because first of all, that this plays well for him in the Republican primary with a Republican mm-hmm. base. Well, we're done with that. Mm-hmm. Now we're turning the page, and now it's a new campaign, and it's a general election. And there are an extraordinary number of Americans that have not been paying that close attention and who will tell pollsters that if, in fact, he is convicted of felonies, that it will change their vote. I mean, whether that's true or not, we will see. But I do think that Donald Trump being on trial for felonies and convicted of felonies will play differently to a general election electorate than it does to the MAGA base electorate.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with MSNBC commentator, apparently a French television star, columnist and political troublemaker, Charlie Sykes. Charlie, this will be our tiny baby micro lightning round. What is the lesson of Nikki Haley?
Oh, Nikki Haley never fails to disappoint, but Nikki Haley was the last off-ramp for Republicans, for Donald Trump. They've had all of these off-ramps, but Nikki Haley, who would have been solidly in the mainstream of the Republican Party just a few years ago, is now clearly an outlier and is probably going to be exiled for daring to take on the Orange God King.
Charlie, you maybe didn't know that I'm clairvoyant, because when this interview ends in a few minutes and I move on to more fundraising for WRT here during the Winter Pledge Drive, your phone will ring. It'll be the most powerful strategist working in the Biden campaign. We'll call him something snazzy like Parker. He's going to ask, no, let's call him Kevin. Kevin's going to ask you what incumbent Biden has to do right away to get things moving his way. What are you going to tell Kev?
More of last night, but also, and I said this on television yesterday, so I'm not speaking of, I'm not just sharing this just with you. I think that they ought to announce that, no, they're not going to give Donald Trump those intelligence briefings, the intelligence briefings that are traditionally given to candidates, because Donald Trump is not a traditional candidate, and he cannot be trusted. He cannot be trusted with the nation's secrets. You cannot give intelligence briefings to someone who is under federal indictment for misusing government secrets. If you want to, this is one of those things where it will be controversial. But I think that what Joe Biden needs to do is he needs to seize control of the initiative and keep pounding through how dangerous and abnormal Donald Trump is. And I think that's one thing that he can do.
We're out of time. I wish we had more. I know our listeners will be disappointed that we didn't get to do a famous lightning round. But something's happened since the last time we spoke. You announced your retirement as editor of The Bulwark. Congratulations on that. What are you going to do with your copious free time?
I wish I had copious free time.
French television.
I continue to write. I'm writing a piece for Politico. I wrote a piece for the Washington Post. I have another piece for MSNBC, and of course, there's the French TV gig. But I think the key thing was that I needed to get off that daily hamster wheel where I was doing a daily 2,000 word newsletter, followed by an hour long podcast every single day. I'm still going to do a lot of those things, but I'm not going to be strapped to the mast of having to do it, of being strapped to this fire hose of political lunacy. I think that you can get a better perspective stepping away a little bit, from it than being right in the middle of it. But I'm going to stay engaged and I'm going to keep writing.
Excellent. And we really appreciate it when you visit us here on the Friday Buzz. Charlie Sykes, thanks again for joining us and have a great weekend.
It's always fun. And you too.
Okay, bye. Charlie Sykes is a former editor-in-chief of The Bulwark, and he's a contributing MSNBC commentator and columnist. Okay, dear listeners, we have less, about a minute or two.
Hey, a minute. You can still call. You can still get online. In the meantime, we have a few more people to thank.
Oh, good.
We have a new first-time donor to thank. We want to thank Dawn. She is my bandmate in Forward Marching Band, is a lot, you know, shares a lot of values with WRT, and she was smart. She picked up a P.S. Mueller hoodie to sport. So thank you, Dawn.
Thank you, Dawn.
We want to thank Amy Ginko. She's got a show coming up. Ask Amy, you know, check that out. That's coming up July 1st. She loves all of the music and all of the news and all of the culture on WORT. So we've got Dawn and Amy, and earlier a gift from Patty, and all of these are being matched by our receptionist volunteer, Gail, who has offered to donate $10 for each pledge. So we've lightened Gail's wallet by $30 with three pledges.
That's perfect.
We can still get another 10 out of her if we get one more caller
online.
Kia,
thank you so much for helping us today. 608, you can help us too. 608-256-2001. Get your pledge in really quick here before the Insurgent Radio Kiosk and Chris Powers and Mud Acres. For Kia Carlin and everybody here, I'm Andy Moore here on the Friday Buzz. Have a great damn weekend. Aloha. Kamaaina.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, March 8th.
This is Bird Note. I'm Ariana Rimmel. Well, that's what I go by in my normal life anyway. I was just a mild-mannered birder going about my business when a radioactive feather mite bit me and I became aviary. I realized I could now shapeshift into any of the birds I've seen in my travels, taking on the ultra-fast flight of a falcon or the super-swimming skills of a penguin. And I soon realized I had to use aviary's powers for good when one night I went out hoping to hear owls on the edge of town, where they're usually easy to find. But that night, they were mysteriously absent. I transformed into an owl myself to see if I could figure it out. With the hi-fi hearing of an owl, a new world of sounds reached my ears. And right away, I heard something that didn't seem right. A far-off banging noise. The hydroelectric dam upstream of town was about to collapse and unleash a flood. I flew off to the local authorities, returning to human form to warn them about the impending doom. At the last minute, the engineers prevented disaster, so people's homes and countless bird nests were safe for another day. Thanks to Aviary.